I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. How many of the first 18 U.S. presidents owned enslaved people at some point in their lives? 12? None? 3? Or 6? The correct answer is 12. And that's one of the questions that 12th graders were asked by the Southern Poverty Law Center's Teaching Tolerance Project. It found that high school seniors don't know much about the history of American slavery, and many of their teachers don't feel equipped to cover this subject in their classroom. These are just some of the findings in a new report, Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. And we asked Maureen Casello to join us. She's the Teaching Tolerance Director at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Maureen Casello, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good to be with you, Marty.
Let me quote something from some of your findings here. Only 8% of high school seniors surveyed could identify slavery as a central cause of the Civil War. Most didn't know an amendment to the U.S. Constitution formally ended slavery. Fewer than 44% knew that slavery was legal in all colonies during the American Revolution. Were you surprised at these findings?
I was a little bit surprised by the numbers. We suspected that this knowledge would be pretty slim, even though we surveyed people who had just had completed 12 years of school, during which the subject came up at least three times, we think.
Was it that they weren't taught it, or there was something about the way they were taught it that it didn't resonate with these young students?
I think it's a combination of both. Certainly, it's taught in a way that often elides kind of or covers up some of the more important aspects of slavery and the role it played in our country. And so some of it's not being taught, and a lot of it's not being taught very well.
Well, you call it hard history, and this is it's our history, but it's hard history.
Yes. And, you know, being hard is not really a good reason not to teach it. As one of our advisors says, you know, chemistry is hard, physics is hard, but we don't use that as an excuse not to teach it. It's hard, of course, because of the thing we don't talk about, which is that it has continuing effects today in the lingering impact of racism and racial differences.
Well, let's talk about the teachers. Obviously, it's their job to teach slavery to their students, and many of the teachers felt that they wanted to do it, but they did not feel equipped to do it. What are the problems that teachers told you?
Well, one of the big problems they identified was the lack of good materials. Almost 60% of them said that the textbooks were inadequate, and another good chunk of them said their states did not provide them with good materials. So they really don't have access to the right kind of materials that would really bring this subject alive, particularly since a lot of the research and the scholarship in the last 20 years hasn't really sifted down to the classroom. That's one of the main problems. The other problem, though, is a certain discomfort. On one hand, 90% of teachers told us they were comfortable, but then when we probed a little more deeply and we asked them about the challenges they encountered, it became clear that they're really deeply uncomfortable with going into the subject. They don't want to make their black students feel a sense of shame. They don't want their white students to feel guilty, and they themselves struggle with the legacy.
Would good materials help teachers out?
We think that they would, and in fact, we made two recommendations. One was we provided a framework that really goes into some depth, both about what students should know and how teachers can teach it. And we point teachers to a collection of primary sources that we think will really help a great deal. You know, there's nothing like looking at the original documents, the runaway slave ads, the maps of the plantations, the stories that were told by former slaves during the WPA, to help students really understand what's going on or what went on.
I mean, something about those primary sources written at that time by people who lived this.
Yes, but not just written primary sources. That's been one of the big problems with teaching the subject because, as you know, enslaved people were not allowed to write.
Right.
So, yes, you have a Harriet Jacobs who ran away or a Frederick Douglass, but what about the other folks? And that's part of the thing that's happened in the last 20 years. Archaeology at historic sites, for example, even looking at diaries of people who ran the plantations, has begun to expose more about the daily life of enslaved people.
You talked about concerns about black students feeling shame, white students mm-hmm. feeling guilt. Shame about what?
Well, what often happens, in fact, just a couple of days ago, we got a note from a teacher who said, you know, she's teaching about this because it's Black History Month, and she has a majority white class with one black student. So she begins talking about this, and this was in elementary school, and of course all the heads swivel to that student, who now feels like she's the center of attention in some way. Many times elementary school teachers are trying to develop empathy for the condition of people who were enslaved, but now this student feels like they're beginning to pity her. So part of the problem is really getting across the message that, yes, this happened in the past, yes, it has an impact on today, but we're not talking about people in this room.
Well, and would that be the way you would suggest a teacher deal with that makeup in that classroom then?
I think it would definitely need to have something said beforehand to prepare kids for what was going to be said, and to really say, you know, this is a terrible time in our history. You're not responsible for it, but you are responsible for, you know, for the racism that will exist in 20 years. But yes, you can't just dive into the subject without thinking about how the students in front of you are going to respond.
Every now and then we hear stories, and tends to be more in elementary school, of teachers that have their students enact some part of this slavery narrative. What are your thoughts about that?
We are not fond of those things. We strongly advise teachers not to do simulations, for instance, of the Middle Passage, which is apparently very, very popular, and for a couple of reasons. First of all, you cannot simulate the Middle Passage. No 15-minute demonstration in a classroom is going to begin to comprehend the horror of that experience. What it risks doing, in fact, is exactly the opposite, minimizing it and making it seem like a game. The other problem, of course, is that you don't know what kind of traumatic background students have in their own life, what experiences they've had, and how this might, in fact, trigger that. So we think that it's far better to look at enslaved people in their full 360-degree view. So in elementary school, I think it's far better to, for instance, use children's fiction, storybooks, mm-hmm. et cetera, to really flesh out what the full lives of enslaved people.
How important do you think is it to teach the facts, and how important do you think it is to have some of these hard discussions about slavery in America?
Well, first of all, it's extremely important to teach the facts. I mean, and to teach them honestly. Part of the problem is that we have taught this history very selectively. We talk about it as being just a Southern institution, when in fact it was a national institution that brought enormous wealth to the Northern states. We talk about it as if it's over, when in fact the legacy of racism and white supremacy continued long after slavery was officially ended. So those facts, and a full set of facts, are really, really important. But the fact that we still do have profound racial disparities in our life. We have movements like Black Lives Matter. We know that white supremacy or white nationalism is on the rise. These are emotional, hot-button topics. And so teachers have to be prepared to wade in and handle both strong emotional reactions, contemporary issues, and the facts of the past.
It's interesting that you are director of the Teaching Tolerance Project at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Is teaching slavery in the end about teaching tolerance?
Yes, I think so. It is in the end about reconciling with our differences. I think the most important untaught lesson about slavery is that racist ideas developed and became rather ornate in defense of this institution. And so when we confront them today in American life, one of the most important discussions to have is, wait, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And why did it happen? And if we can understand a bit of where did that come from, and I think that that will go a long way towards helping us address some of our differences.
I would say most people know something about Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass as well. We're going to be talking about Frederick Douglass a little bit later in the hour. And sometimes these are described as feel-good stories. Obviously, it's much more than that. It's about, you know, bravery and defiance and a long list of other things. Is there too much focus on people like Harriet Tubman?
I would say that the focus is misdirected, and often that comes at the wrong time. Most American school children, by the time they finish first grade, have learned about Harriet Tubman at least once, if not twice. But they don't learn about slavery until fourth or fifth grade. So think about, you know, the information getting hardwired into your brain. It's hardwired that people escaped from slavery. It's hardwired that there are these triumphant stories, and before you really understand what they were actually being brave about.
Let me read a couple of comments here. A tweet from Jay. He says, I grew up in South Carolina, went to Robert Smalls Junior High, namesake of an abolitionist era legend who's really virtually unknown. Can we give Robert Smalls a shout out? Do you know him, Maureen Costello?
Absolutely. He was a Reconstruction era member of Congress. And he's right. We have more schools named after Confederates or ex-Confederates than we do after these Reconstruction legislators.
I thought it was interesting, and a number of the questions, and I have to say that I took the test. I got one wrong. Some of the other folks at Radio Times took the test as well. But one of the questions having to do with slavery, that it was not exclusive to the South, and I think even today people don't necessarily know that.
I think that's true. And, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, it lasted in the North, but it faded out. And to some extent, that's true. In New York, for instance, it lasted until 1827. But as recently as 1850, there were still slaves in the New York census. But the impact of slavery in the North has more to do with the growth of industry, cotton mills in New England, the growth of banking. Banks mortgaged slaves. They funded the purchase of slaves. They funded the ships, the insurance industry, which insured ships. They insured slaves against death and rebellion. And so really, the capital that was accumulated in the 19th century was largely derived from the unpaid labor of slaves.
Maureen, we're going to hold you because we're waiting for David Blight to get into the studio. Okay. I'm going to hold you a little bit longer, and I appreciate you joining us today in Radio Times. I know you've got kind of a scratchy voice there, but we can hear you loud and clear. She's the Teaching Tolerance Director at the Southern Poverty Law Center, and we've been talking about a new study from the center about slavery. The report is titled Teaching Hard History, American Slavery. And if you want to join us at 1-888-477-9499. Make that call. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Maureen Costello, the Teaching Tolerance Director at the Southern Poverty Law Center, talking about a research study that found a number of things, including, and I'll read a couple of quotes here, high school seniors struggle on even the most basic questions about American enslavement of Africans. Teachers are serious about teaching slavery, but there's a lack of deep coverage of the subject in the classroom. Popular textbooks fail to provide comprehensive coverage of slavery and enslaved peoples, and states fail to set appropriately high expectations with their content standards. In a word, the standards are timid. Let me go back to you, Maureen. In terms of timid, is it using these old textbooks that are not up to date, or they're just very overly careful about the words that they use to describe slavery?
I think they're overly careful. It's certainly not a matter of being not up to date. We looked at recent and current textbooks. You see some very curious things. The use of the passive voice, for instance. So we will read that slaves were brought to Virginia. without mentioning who brought them. Notoriously, there was a textbook in Texas that referred to them as workers rather than as enslaved people.
Wow.
Yeah. And frequently the state standards look at just, you know, the big political things, you know, the compromises or the, mostly the compromises around slavery. And they see slavery mainly as a political thing, which is a very white perspective. But what about the impact on the millions of people who were enslaved?
Let me read an email from Ruth. She says, my son attended Morristown Friends School. There were very few students of color in this environment. Slavery was studied in middle school. However, when he first learned of slavery at the age of 4, I read stories about slavery and the resistance efforts to him, i.e. the American Girls Addy books. I made him aware that he's descended from people who survived the system, and he has that same strength and courage in him. Obviously from a parent who decided to in a sense, teach her own son about American slavery.
That is such an important message that, you know, they survived the system. And I think that's really the important message we have to get across, that having had your ancestors enslaved is not a mark of shame. These people struggled and they created lives and they sustained them and they survived. But also that idea of families teaching. I taught for 20 years, and I'm connected to a lot of my former students on Facebook, so I asked them what they remembered. And one of my students, who is African-American, you know, said, you know, nothing I learned in school, including in your class, she was very honest, really matched what I learned around my dining room table from my family. And I think that's probably true of many African-American families, that they're the ones who are telling the story. And the question is it the same story then that's being reinforced in school? And I think many times it's not.
Do you think we, in a sense, segregate teaching about slavery, that we have Black History Month, though I think hopefully we don't just spend 1 month out of the year talking about Black history, but do you think there is this maybe unintended consequences of focusing on slavery at a certain time of the year without connecting it to our larger history?
I think that's an issue. You know, I can even remember textbooks, and I've seen it in textbooks now that have a separate chapter on it, as though sometime after Andrew Jackson and before the Civil War, oh, we'd better stop and just really look at slavery now, which kind of pretends that it wasn't there at the beginning and doesn't still have a shadow today. So I think it's really important that this story not be a sidebar, in a sense.
Let me see what looks like Glenn from New Jersey has to say. And Glenn, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Hi, Glenn. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello there. Okay. My comment is, first of all, to teach Black history alone, I mean, we need, if a Black student feels different in class when Black history is taught, why don't we teach him that here in America, more than the Blacks were discriminated against. I mean, look at the Chinese. Look at the Japanese internment camps. Look at when the Irish camped in New York. Many, many different races were discriminated against in this country. If you don't want to make one student feel guilty, teach all of history. Don't teach just Black history. I mean, make it all there.
Well, Glenn, it's a good point. Let me give Maureen Costello a chance to respond to that.
I agree that all of those stories should be taught. As a 20-year veteran in the classroom, I can tell you that there is a different energy that goes on when you, for instance, start talking about immigrant history, and you can talk about what happened to the Irish, and you don't have that sense of shame. And the reason is because within two generations, the Irish were in politics, the Irish were sending people to law school, and basically the barriers against them were gone. That has never been true for people of color in this country. The fact is that slavery was succeeded by Jim Crow, which was succeeded by redlining, and today we have marked disparities in every area of American life, from health to education to mass incarceration. So, of course, you know, we have a terrible track record, and I would say the track record towards indigenous people is even worse. None of it should be hidden, but this is a particular stain on American history that we have not, that people don't grow out of after one or two generations.
And there was one question that, on your questionnaire to high school seniors, which included a question about the Irish and whether they were essentially enslaved in this country.
There is a persistent myth, especially among white nationalists, that the Irish were enslaved and that this is somehow covered up in our history. It is true that Irish laborers were often indentured, and under the English policies during the colonial period, Irish criminals might be sent to, or people perceived to be criminals could be sent here, but it was not hereditary, it was not lifelong, it did not have the characteristics of chattel slavery.
Maureen Costello, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to have you with us as well. And she's the Teaching Tolerance Director at the Southern Poverty Law Center, talking about a new report, Teaching Hard History, American Slavery.